This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good Monday morning, everybody. It's July 27th in the year of our Lord, 2026. Hard to believe July is almost over with. Not sure exactly where the summer has gone, but it's been a really, really hot one, and it's going to get even hotter. We'll have the forecast coming up for you in just a little bit. Also, if you want to weigh in today, we're going to be talking quite a bit about the Oklahoma County Jail. The construction is continuing with it. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of that conversation. A lot of other stuff to talk about, too. We've got more details this morning after a murder-suicide in Owosso. The disgusting charges the husband was facing when police say he killed his wife, then himself. New information after a deadly shooting in Oklahoma City last week. A bicyclist is fighting for his life after being hit by a car. We'll have the details on that one. A weekend police standoff ends peacefully. What police are saying about the situation. A suspected bank robber is behind bars this morning. How police caught him so quickly coming up. The mother of a jail inmate who overdosed behind bars is suing. We'll have the details on that story. Construction, meanwhile, of the Oklahoma County Jail is moving forward despite some major challenges at the site. Again, we'll be taking your calls on that one at 405-608-4377. Plus, your dad joke of the day. Going to be a jam-packed Monday morning. But first, your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Owosso police have released more details about a murder-suicide that left a 43-year-old mother dead just weeks after she obtained an emergency protective order against her estranged husband. Investigators say officers responded after a 911 call in which dispatchers heard a woman screaming, followed by a gunshot. Moments later, the victim's son called from a neighbor's home and reported a stepfather had shot his mother. Police say Jeremiah Sean Duffy murdered Sarah Gilson before turning the gun on himself. Court records show Duffy had recently been accused of inappropriate sexual contact with a 15-year-old girl on a basketball team that he coached, and Gilson had warned a judge that he threatened suicide and he was armed. Now, because Duffy was a member of the Osage Nation and the crime occurred in Indian country, the molestation investigation has been referred to federal prosecutors. New information this morning after a shooting on Thursday left an Oklahoma City man dead. Officers responded around 11:30 on Thursday night after 43-year-old Myron Cooper called 911 to report that he had been shot. Investigators say Cooper had been involved in a confrontation with 54-year-old Barry Russell Jr. in the parking lot of a business near Northwest 61st Street and Santa Fe just before the shooting. Cooper was rushed to the hospital in critical condition, but he died following surgery early Friday. Russell was arrested and booked into the Oklahoma County Detention Center on a complaint of first-degree murder. A southwest Oklahoma City man is facing a long recovery after police say he was struck by a car and dragged nearly 400 feet outside a bar earlier this month. 45-year-old Jose Perez remains hospitalized with severe injuries, including a fractured pelvis, broken hip and arm, and a serious head injury. Family members say he was initially admitted to the hospital as a John Doe after they spent hours searching for him. Police have arrested 26-year-old Jennifer Rocha, accusing her of causing the crash. Perez's family say they're encouraged by his progress, but they want the driver held accountable for the injuries that they say will affect him for the rest of his life. Meanwhile, a bicyclist is in serious condition after being struck by a vehicle and more on Sunday morning. Police say the crash happened around 6 p.m. near Southwest 4th Street and Howard Avenue. The cyclist was taken by ambulance to a local hospital with serious injuries. Authorities have not yet released the person's identity, and no arrests have been made as the investigation continues. A domestic violence call in Noble ended with an armed suspect surrendering after barricading himself inside of a home on Saturday afternoon. Police say officers responded to the home on South 7th Street after reports of a woman being assaulted. Investigators say the suspect had access to a gun and sent several text messages threatening to harm himself and others before locking himself inside and damaging the home, including smashing out some windows. After police officers called for additional backup, the man came outside, threw his gun to the ground, and was taken into custody without further incident. The woman suffered non-life-threatening injuries and was taken to a hospital for treatment. More police are investigating after gunfire was reported outside of a hotel on Sunday night. Officers responded around 9:30 to the La Quinta Inn near Interstate 35 and Southwest 19th Street after a fight reportedly escalated into shots fired. Police say no one appears to have been struck by the gunfire and no arrests have been made. The investigation is ongoing. A suspected bank robber is behind bars this morning after a holdup at Sealing State Bank in Woodward on Friday morning. Police say the suspect handed the teller a note demanding money and then left the bank with cash. Officers quickly located the suspect just a few blocks away and recovered the stolen money during the arrest. The suspect was booked into the Woodward County Jail on a complaint of first-degree robbery. Authorities are withholding the suspect's name until formal charges are filed. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation is warning residents about a scam involving somebody posing as an OSBI special agent with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Investigators say the caller falsely claims a warrant will be issued unless the victim returns the call. OSBI stresses it does not threaten people with arrest by warrants, by text or email or unsolicited phone calls. If you receive a message like that, do not respond or provide any personal information. Instead, report the scam to the OSBI. A missing Kay County woman has been found safe, and her husband has been arrested in connection with her disappearance. The 42-year-old mother vanished near Kaw City on Wednesday, prompting a large search involving first responders and community volunteers. She was found alive the following morning. Later that day, the Kay County Sheriff's Office arrested her 40-year-old husband on complaints of domestic assault and battery in the presence of minors, along with attempting or conspiring to commit an act of violence involving serious bodily harm or death. Authorities have not released additional details, and formal charges have not yet been filed. The mother of a Cleveland County inmate who died from fentanyl toxicity inside the county jail has filed a federal wrongful death lawsuit against the former sheriff, Chris Amoson, and several former jail leaders. The suit claims that the jail officials failed to keep fentanyl out of the secure facility despite knowing about ongoing contraband problems. 34-year-old Alex Wright died in October of 2024 after being found unresponsive in his cell. The medical examiner ruled his death was caused by acute fentanyl toxicity. The lawsuit alleges that Wright's constitutional rights were violated because jail officials failed to protect him from known dangers while he was awaiting trial. Jones is seeking damages and a jury trial. Construction of the new Oklahoma County Jail is moving forward despite some major challenges at the site. County officials say crews finished dealing with contaminated soil and an abandoned oil well discovered during excavation, and those problems have stayed within the project's contingency budget. Workers are now drilling 560 support piers, some of them reaching 90 feet deep for the first phase of the jail. Officials say the initial phase remains on track for completion in 2028. However, the full jail project is now estimated to cost about $850 million. That's far more than the $260 million bond that was approved by voters, and county leaders are still searching for a long-term funding source to complete the project. Oklahoma County officials, meanwhile, say two of the jail's three secure elevators are back in service after emergency repairs restored one that had been taken out of operation. The elevators are critical because the jail's medical unit is located on the 13th floor, making it difficult to transport sick or injured inmates when the lifts are unavailable. State labor inspectors have granted the county a 60-day variance to address the remaining problems. Officials say the aging elevators will continue to be repaired as needed until a planned $3 million modernization project can begin in 2027. An Oklahoma lawmaker could face expulsion from the House after investigations into allegations of improper behavior involving a House employee. House Speaker Kyle Hilbert says Representative Danny Williams of Seminole was removed from his committee leadership position. He was moved out of the Capitol office and investigated by an outside law firm as well as the legislature's Human Resources Division. The matter has now been referred to the House Rules Committee, which will decide whether to recommend disciplinary action, including possible expulsion. Williams says he still hasn't seen the complaint against him and he doesn't know what rules he's accused of violating. Democrats are also calling on him to resign and end his reelection campaign. Three candidates for Oklahoma governor outlined their priorities during the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association's Agricultural Forum in Tulsa, with rural health care and taxes taking center stage. Republican Gettner Drummond and Democrat Cindy Munson both voiced support for protecting Medicaid expansion, warning that cuts could face more rural hospitals to close. Republican Mike Mazie instead focused on auditing the state's Sooner Care program, saying billions of dollars in waste and fraud should be addressed. The candidates also differed on taxes. Drummond cautioned against eliminating the state income tax if that means cutting core services. Munson argued the tax cuts could hurt schools and health care, while Mazie promoted eliminating property taxes for seniors and veterans and eventually phasing them out more broadly. Mike Mazie will be joining us tomorrow morning, taking your phone calls on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Well, a church in Bethany is continuing to hold services despite a recent Vatican decree declaring that the Society of St. Pius X to be in schism with the Roman Catholic Church. St. Michael Chapel was filled with worshipers during a recent Mass. Earlier this month, Archbishop Paul Coakley warned Catholics that because the group's status, sacraments including marriage and confessions performed at the chapel are now considered invalid by the Catholic Church. Church leaders declined to comment, and many parishioners also chose not to speak. The Vatican's decision has left many Catholics with questions about the group's future and its relationship with the church. A new hands-on learning program at UConn Public Schools is drawing far more interest than originally expected. The Kelly program, designed for kindergarten through fifth grade, focuses on outdoor education, project-based learning, and giving students more control over how they learn. District leaders say they hope to enroll about 75 students, but had to cap it at the first 99 after applications quickly exceeded expectations. School officials say the program, inspired by an educational model from Finland, will meet all of Oklahoma academic standards while emphasizing critical thinking, creativity, and real-world learning experiences. Students accepted this year can remain in the program through fifth grade. The developer behind the proposed boardwalk at Bricktown and the record-breaking Legends Tower says that he expects construction to begin later on this year despite years of delays. California developer Scott Madison first unveiled the project back in 2023, but no building permits have been filed, no construction has started, and he has not yet purchased the property. Madison says environmental work, negotiations with neighboring property owners, and design changes have slowed the project. He also acknowledged the proposed 1,907-foot tower would only be built if there is enough market demand for the project's smaller buildings once they're completed. Critics remain skeptical after several missed groundbreaking dates. Oklahoma City's first double roundabout is now open to traffic along Northwest 10th Street in Pennsylvania and Virginia Avenues. City officials have nicknamed the new design the Peanut because of its unique shape. Drivers are being reminded to slow down as they approach, choose the correct lane before entering, and yield to vehicles already circulating through the roundabouts. City leaders say the new traffic pattern is designed to improve traffic flow and reduce crashes, but they are asking motorists to use a bit of extra caution as everyone adjusts to that change. The 2026 ICF Canoe Slalom World Championships wrapped up on Saturday in Oklahoma City after a week of international competition at Riversport. More than 300 athletes from 50 countries competed for world titles and for valuable Olympic qualifying points for the 2028 Games. The event ended with the International Canoe Federation unveiling its new global brand, Paddle Worldwide. Organizers say athletes will begin returning to Oklahoma City next year as preparations continue for the 2028 Olympics, including new facilities and upgrades to the Riversport course. Well, we now have the figures from the UFC fight night just a week ago, and it delivered a major economic win for Oklahoma City. The sold-out event at the Paycom Center generated more than $3.18 million in ticket sales, making it the highest-grossing non-NBA event in the arena's history. Mayor David Holt celebrated the milestone, saying it reflects Oklahoma City's growing ability to attract major national events that bring visitors and millions of dollars into the local economy. It was the first UFC fight night held in Oklahoma City in nearly a decade. Well, like we mentioned, construction at the Oklahoma County Jail remains on track despite some earlier problems with contaminated soil and an abandoned oil well. Crews are now drilling hundreds of deep support piers for the first phase of the project, while officials say construction is on schedule. The total cost has grown to about $850 million, and county leaders are still looking for funding to complete the entire facility. Voters approved just $260 million for the new jail. That's a $590 million gap. $590 million. County leaders blame it on inflation, but are you buying it? Would you back a tax increase to cover the cost? There's been a lot of talk about a penny sales tax that could be used to build the build and properly fund the jail and the sheriff's office, as well as the DA's office. So far, there's no budget built into the $260 million that voters approved to maintain the new facility or keep it staffed. Oklahoma County is the only county in the entire state without a dedicated sales tax for public safety. The mayor wants that penny sales tax, but he wants it for a choo-choo train to go from Oklahoma City to Norman and Edmond. What are your thoughts on that? 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation. 405-608-4377. It's 79 degrees and sunny at 721. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Monday morning. Got a couple of construction issues causing delays. Bridge work on May and Northwest Expressway, as well as I-44 and Southwest 74th, and eastbound I-44 at Klassen.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. The new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's four times stronger than traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part? Our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor's ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Hi, this is Scott, the owner of Airflow Technologies, located at 315 West Main, Yukon, right along the beautiful Route 66. To celebrate 100 years of Route 66, we are offering an AC tune-up for only $66. Only $66. Call us at 405-577-5400 to schedule yours today. 405-577-5400. Schedule yours today. Airflow Technologies, located at 315 West Main in Yukon, Oklahoma. Right now, get an AC tune-up for only $66. That's right, only $66. And remember, if you're hot, call Scott.
It's a double celebration of freedom. The American spirit meets the open road in 2026. We honor 250 years of our nation and 100 years of Route 66. Your voice for freedom is right here. Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Could Iran be this stupid and self-destructive? So they're shooting at merchant ships of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, both of which stopped allowing us to use their bases and want a re-encroachment with Iran. So they shoot both those guys and they condemn them. So it just goes to show you in that neighborhood that trying to make friends with your enemy never works.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And welcome back. It's going to be a toasty one out there today. Look for mostly sunny skies. Hot, high of 103 degrees today. Tonight, partly cloudy. It's going to be humid, low of about 74. Then on Tuesday, mostly sunny, high going up to 105. Wednesday, no break in sight anytime soon. Partly sunny and hot, high of 102 degrees. It's 79 degrees already. Sunny skies at 725. We're talking about the Oklahoma County Jail today. I know we talk about it quite a bit, but it's an important issue, and there's some really strange goings on with it. Construction with the new Oklahoma County Jail is on schedule right now, we're told, despite some earlier setbacks involving contaminated soil and an abandoned oil well. Crews are now drilling hundreds of deep support piers right now for the first phase of that project. But while the construction is moving ahead, the estimated price tag has climbed to about $850 million. Now, voters approved just $260 million in bonds. That leaves roughly a $590 million gap. So we've already got some issues here to touch on. How is it that we've already purchased the property, we've agreed to the property, and we didn't bother doing a study to determine whether or not the soil is contaminated and whether there's an abandoned oil well on there? If you're building a house, one of the first things that you're doing is soil samples. And consequently, we bought a lemon of a piece of land to already begin this process with. And we were told initially it's going to cost about $260 million. And now that price has jumped up to $850 million. So what, three times the cost? County leaders are blaming that on inflation. I don't know. I've gone to the grocery store. I've bought eggs. I've bought meat. I haven't seen 300% increase in inflation in just 4 years, 3 years. My thought would be, let's go back to the drawing board. Do we really, really need an $850 million jail? Now, keep in mind, to put that in perspective, $850 million for the jail, that's $150 million more dollars than it cost to build Devon Tower. So this had better be one impressive jail. County leaders point to inflation and rising construction costs. Are you convinced about it? Would you support a new tax to pay for it? There's been a lot of talk about a dedicated 1 cent sales tax to build and operate the jail while also funding the sheriff's office and the DA's office. Right now, the original bond does not include any type of a long-term operating or staffing cost. So even though they asked taxpayers and taxpayers granted $260 million, nobody thought to think, well, what if the jail wants to, I don't know, employ people? Or what if they have a pipe break and it needs to be fixed? There was no consideration of ongoing cost that it takes to properly operate the jail. So Oklahoma County is the only county right now in the state that doesn't have a dedicated public safety sales tax. And honestly, much as I'm not in favor of new taxes, we really need a public safety sales tax. Meanwhile, the mayor is also pushing for that 1 cent sales tax to help fund commuter rail between Oklahoma City, Edmond, and Norman. What do you think about that? For years, the city has been telling us that a 1 cent sales tax would decimate local businesses. Now, all of a sudden, the mayor wants a 1 cent sales tax for his choo-choo train. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 405-608-4377. We'd like to have you weigh in on that, 405-608-4377. So what are your thoughts? Did voters receive an accurate estimate before approving the bond, or were we kind of caught into a shell game where politicians will, and they have in the past, say, this is the cost that we have for something. Then once voters say yes, they get halfway through building it, and then they have to go back to voters and say, hey, we need more money now. And with that type of a shell game, oftentimes voters will go for it because they figure, well, we can't spend this much money and just leave this project halfway built. We have to continue building. And so voters essentially get conned. Do you believe that's what happened? Or do you believe that county leaders are being genuine when they say, yeah, we honestly believe that it was only $260 million, but now it's $850 million. Sorry. Should Oklahoma County be asking voters to approve additional funding, or should it be found elsewhere? Is $850 million for a jail the best use of taxpayer money? Or could it be better used on a choo-choo train? Probably not. But that said, can the county afford not to replace the current jail? We're going to be dropping an unexpected $3 million into it to repair the elevators because they're so old and decrepit they can't be repaired anymore. They have to be replaced. So the other concern is, will we see the final cost eventually climb higher before the construction is complete? We'll be talking a bit more about this later on in the hour. If you want to be part of the conversation, 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
I'm John Summers. The death toll has risen to 3 following a shooting near Seattle's Space Needle Sunday evening. 4 others were injured when shots rang out during the Bite of Seattle Festival, with the youngest of those victims just 2 years old.
At first, I thought it was like some fireworks. Then I had to really sit and think. Boom. They're shooting.
A federal appeals court ruled President Trump cannot implement his executive order tightening mail-in voting regulations. Iran's foreign ministry says an Iranian commercial ship was attacked by Ukraine in the Caspian Sea. One of the byproducts of the U.S. war with Iran would have grave environmental impacts all over the world. Former State Senate President Troy Jackson's officially Maine's Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate. The Secret Service is investigating one of the agents assigned to protect the vice president. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
Summer should be fun, but it's also when we see some of the most serious injuries. Boating accidents, swimming pool injuries, slip and falls at lake houses, rentals, and backyard parties. Add in alcohol, water, and speed, and things can go wrong fast. And people often say, well, it was just an accident. But legally, that's not always true. Boat operators have responsibilities. Property owners have duties, and safety rules exist, especially when kids are involved. When those rules are ignored, injuries happen and lives can change, often forever. If a summer accident left you with medical bills, missed work, or a permanent injury, you deserve to know whether someone else should be held responsible.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Craft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Police and more are investigating after gunfire erupted following a fight Saturday night at the La Quinta Motel near I-35 and Southwest 19th. Investigators say no one appears to have been hit by gunfire and no arrests have been announced, with few details currently released. Well, the Oklahoma Department of Veterans Affairs says it exceeded its outreach goal during the first half of 2026 by registering 938 previously unregistered veterans for benefits. Executive Director James Bynum says the agency also helped secure $1.2 billion in federal benefits for Oklahoma veterans during the fiscal year. Officials say the effort is helping connect more veterans with health care, housing assistance, financial benefits, and other important services. A new report from News 9 reveals UConn Public Schools has received far more interest than expected in a new CALI program, a hands-on, project-based learning initiative for elementary students. Officials say the district expected about 75 students, but quickly reached its enrollment cap of 99 due to overwhelming demand. School leaders say the program emphasizes outdoor learning and real-world experiences while still meeting all Oklahoma academic standards. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Let's be honest. Medicare can get complicated fast. Too many plans, too many opinions, not enough straight answers. That's where Health 65 and Edmund comes in. We will give you a clear, straightforward guidance so you can understand your options and choose what works best for you. No runarounds, no pressure, just help when and where you need it. Hi, I'm Philip Beard. Give me a call today or visit Health65.com. That's Health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Consider this an invitation to listen to my personal financial advisor, Mike McGuire of McGuire Capital's financial show, Bull and Bear. Hey, it's Lee Matthews, and you can hear it every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9. Get to know Michael and then set an appointment where he can get to know you and your family and your retirement goals, just like he did me. Together, you can get to and through your retirement goals. In my case, sooner than you think. Tune into Saturday's Bull and Bear Show, 10 a.m. to 1, right here on Freedom 96.9.
Get ready. Oklahoma rodeo fans, come out to the 25th annual UConn FFA Rodeo, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st at the UConn Roundup Club between UConn Parkway and Ranchwood.
Come out for the rodeo, along with face painting, kids games, concessions, and more. Gates open at 6:30 p.m. and the rodeo starts at 8 p.m. Get your tickets now at Langston's in UConn and online at rodeoticket.com.
The 25th annual UConn FFA Rodeo, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st at the UConn Roundup Club between UConn Parkway and Ranchwood. Follow us on Facebook, UConn FFA Rodeo.
Okie Dokie Bakery off Reno and Sarah Road.
Cupcakes, stuffed cookies, macarons, Pop-Tarts, and more, made from scratch and baked fresh every day from our own in-store kitchen that's locally owned and family operated.
Okie Dokie Bakery has the perfect treats for any occasion.
We don't skimp on flavor.
Come by Okie Dokie Bakery on Reno and Sarah Road.
And if you're curious about the flavors, check out OkieDokieBakery.com.
OkieDokieBakery.com. That's OkieDokieBakery.com.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect mostly sunny skies with a breeze and hot temperatures, reaching a high of 103. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 74. Tomorrow will be hot with abundant sunshine as temperatures climb to a high of 105. Wednesday brings partly sunny skies and toasty conditions with a high of 102. Thursday will feature partly sunny weather with hot temperatures and a chance of a thunderstorm in some areas during the afternoon, reaching a high of 102. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back on your Monday morning. 79 degrees and sunny at 736. That means time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, I always wondered how Darth Vader ate with that great big mask on.
Yeah?
Yeah. Then I realized he was probably force-fed.
Oh, I get it. Like,
horse is strong with this one.
Like force.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
There is no try.
Wise words, Yodi. Wise words. Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Owosso police have released new details in a murder-suicide that left a 43-year-old mother dead just weeks after she obtained an emergency protective order against her estranged husband. Investigators say dispatchers heard a woman screaming, followed by a gunshot during a 911 call. Just minutes later, the victim's son called from a neighbor's house and reported a stepfather had shot his mother. Police say Jeremiah Sean Duffy killed Sarah Gilson before taking his own life. Court records show Duffy had recently been accused of inappropriate sexual contact with a 15-year-old girl on his basketball team that he coached. Gilson had warned a judge that Duffy had threatened suicide and was carrying a gun. Because Duffy was a member of the Osage Nation and the crime happened in Indian country, the molestation investigation has been referred to federal prosecutors. New information this morning after a deadly shooting in Oklahoma City. Police say 43-year-old Myron Cooper called 911 late on Thursday night to report that he had been shot after an altercation in a parking lot of a business near Northwest 61st Street and Santa Fe. Cooper was taken to the hospital in critical condition but died the following day after surgery. Investigators say 54-year-old Barry Russell Jr. was identified as the suspected shooter and was arrested on a complaint of first-degree murder. Detectives continue investigating what led to the confrontation and have not released any additional details about what sparked the shooting. A Southwest Oklahoma City man continues fighting through a painful recovery after police say he was struck by a vehicle and dragged nearly 400 feet outside a bar earlier this month. 45-year-old Jose Perez remains hospitalized with a fractured pelvis, broken hip, broken arm, and serious head injuries. His family says they spent hours searching for him before discovering that he had been admitted to the hospital as a John Doe. Police arrested 26-year-old Jennifer Roca in connection with the incident. Perez's family says he has already begun standing and taking a few steps, but faces a long road to recovery. They say they hope the driver is held accountable for what happened. A bicyclist is in serious condition this morning after being struck by a vehicle Sunday evening in Moore. Police say the crash happened around 6 o'clock near Southwest 4th Street and Howard Avenue. Emergency crews rushed the cyclist to a local hospital with serious injuries. Investigators have not yet released the victim's identity, and no arrests have been made. Police are continuing to investigate exactly what led up to the collision, and they're asking anyone who may have witnessed the crash to contact investigators if they have information. A domestic violence investigation in Noble ended peacefully after an armed suspect barricaded himself inside of a home on Saturday afternoon. Officers responded to a home on South 7th Street after reports that a woman had been assaulted. Police say the suspect had access to a firearm and then sent text messages threatening to harm himself and others before barricading himself inside and then damaging the home, including breaking windows. After additional officers arrived, the suspect came outside, threw his gun to the ground, and surrendered without further incident. The woman suffered non-life-threatening injuries and was taken to a local hospital for treatment. More police are investigating after gunfire erupted outside a hotel on Sunday night. Officers were called to the La Quinta Inn near I-35 and Southwest 19th Street around 9:30 after reports that a fight escalated into gunfire. Investigators say no one appears to have been struck by the shots, and officers have not announced any arrests. Detectives are reviewing evidence and working to determine exactly what led to the shooting. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact more police. A suspected bank robber is behind bars this morning after a holdup Friday morning at the Sealing State Bank in Woodward. Police say the suspect handed the teller a handwritten note demanding money before leaving the bank with the cash. Officers quickly received a description of the suspect and located him just a few blocks away. Investigators say all of the stolen money was recovered when the suspect was arrested. He was booked into the Woodward County Jail on a complaint of first-degree robbery. Authorities are withholding his identity until formal charges are filed, and the FBI is expected to assist with the investigation. Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation is warning Oklahomans about a new phone scam involving someone pretending to be an OSBI special agent with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Investigators say the caller falsely claims that a warrant will be issued unless the victim returns the call. OSBI says it does not threaten people with arrest warrants through unsolicited phone calls, text messages, or emails. Officials urge anyone who receives a message like this not to respond or provide personal information. Instead, report the scam directly to the OSBI so investigators can track the fraudulent activity. A missing Kay County woman has been found safe after her husband and her husband is now under arrest in connection with her disappearance. The 42-year-old mother disappeared near Kaw City on Wednesday, prompting an extensive search involving deputies, emergency responders, and volunteers from the community. She was found alive the following morning. Later on that day, deputies arrested her 40-year-old husband on complaints of domestic assault and battery in the presence of minors, as well as attempting to or conspiring to commit an act of violence involving serious bodily harm or death. Formal charges have not yet been filed, and investigators have released very few additional details. The mother of a Cleveland County inmate who died from a fentanyl overdose inside the county jail has filed a federal wrongful death lawsuit against former Sheriff Chris Amoson and several former jail officials. The lawsuit alleges that jail leaders failed to prevent fentanyl from entering the secure facility despite knowing there were ongoing contraband problems. 34-year-old Alex Wright died in October of 2024 after he was found unresponsive in his cell. The medical examiner ruled the death was caused by acute fentanyl toxicity. His mother argues jail officials violated his constitutional rights by failing to protect him while he was awaiting trial, and then she's seeking damages through a jury trial. Construction of the new Oklahoma County Jail continues despite some major challenges on the site. County officials say crews have finished cleaning up contaminated soil and dealing with an abandoned oil well discovered during excavation. Workers are now drilling 560 deep support piers, some say are reaching nearly 90 feet underground for the first phase of the project. Now, while officials say construction remains on schedule, the estimated cost of the full jail has climbed to about $850 million. That's far above the $260 million bond approved by voters back in 2022. County leaders continue searching for long-term funding to complete and operate the facility. Oklahoma County officials, meanwhile, say two of the jail's three secure elevators are once again operating after emergency repairs restored one that had been taken out of service. The elevators are critical because the jail's medical unit is located up on the 13th floor, making it very difficult to transport sick or injured inmates when those lifts fail. State labor inspectors have granted the county a 60-day variance to address the remaining elevator problems. Officials say temporary repairs will continue until a planned $3 million modernization project can begin sometime in 2027. An Oklahoma lawmaker could face expulsion after investigation into allegations of improper behavior involving a House employee. House Speaker Kyle Hilbert says Representative Danny Williams of Seminole was stripped of his committee chairmanship. He was moved from his Capitol office and investigated by both an outside law firm and the legislature's Human Resources Division. The matter has now been referred to the House Rules Committee, which could recommend disciplinary action, which could include expulsion. Williams says he has not received any details about the complaint, and he does not know what rules he is accused of violating. Democrats are also calling for him to resign and to end his reelection campaign. Well, three candidates for Oklahoma governor laid out their visions for the state during the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Agricultural Forum in Tulsa. Rural health care, Medicaid expansion, and taxes were among the biggest issues talked about. Republican Gettner Drummond and Democrat Cindy Munson both expressed support for protecting Medicaid expansion, warning that the cuts could threaten rural hospitals. Republican Mike Mazie instead focused on reducing waste and fraud in the state's Sooner Care program, The candidates also debated taxes, with Drummond warning against eliminating the income tax too quickly. Munson cautioned that tax cuts could hurt schools and health care, and Mazie promoted property tax relief for seniors and veterans. Mazie will be joining us tomorrow morning on Freedom's First News to take your calls. Well, it's 80 degrees and sunny out at 7:45. A church in Bethany is continuing to hold services despite a recent Vatican decree declaring that the Society of St. Pius X to be in schism with the Roman Catholic Church. St. Michael Chapel, the only St. Pius X affiliated church in the Oklahoma City Archdiocese, held a packed mass over the weekend despite the announcement. Archbishop Paul Coakley has warned Catholics that sacraments like marriages and confessions performed there are now considered invalid by the Catholic Church because of the group's separation from Rome. Church leaders declined to comment, and many parishioners also chose not to speak. The Vatican's decision has sparked questions about the future of the congregation and its standing within the Catholic faith. A new educational program in Yukon Public Schools is attracting far more interest than district leaders first expected. The CALI program combines outdoor learning, hands-on projects, and student-led instruction for children in kindergarten through fifth grade. School officials say they originally planned for about 75 students, but had to cap enrollment at 99 after applications poured in. Inspired by educational models used in Finland, the program will still meet all Oklahoma academic standards while placing greater emphasis on creativity, creative thinking, and experimental learning. Students accepted this year will be able to remain in the program through fifth grade. The developer behind the proposed boardwalk at Bricktown and the massive Legends Tower says he still expects construction to begin this year despite several missed groundbreaking dates. California developer Scott Madison first unveiled the project back in 2023, but no building permits have been filed, no construction has started, and he still does not own the land where the development is planned. Madison says environmental studies, negotiations with neighboring property owners, and repeated design changes have delayed the project. He also acknowledged the proposed 1,907-foot Legends Tower would only be built if market demand exists after smaller buildings are completed, leaving many critics pretty skeptical. Oklahoma City's first double roundabout is now open to drivers along Northwest 10th Street and Pennsylvania and Virginia Avenues. City officials have nicknamed the unique design the Peanut because of its shape. Drivers are being reminded to slow down and to choose the correct lane before entering and yield to vehicles already circulating through the roundabouts. City engineers say the design is intended to improve traffic flow while reducing serious crashes at the intersections. Officials expect there will be a learning curve, and they're encouraging motorists to use caution until drivers become more familiar with the new traffic pattern. Well, the 2026 ICF Canoe Slalom World Championships wrapped up this weekend at River Sports in Oklahoma City after welcoming more than 300 athletes from 50 countries. Competitors battled for world titles and valuable Olympic qualifying points ahead of the 2028 Games in Los Angeles. Organizers also unveiled the International Canoe Federation's new global brand, Paddle Worldwide, and say athletes will begin returning next year as Oklahoma City prepares to host Olympic competitions in 2028. UFC Fight Night delivered record-breaking economic boost for Oklahoma City. Officials say the sold-out event at the Paycom Center generated more than $3.18 million in ticket sales, making it the highest-grossing non-NBA event in the arena's history. Mayor David Holt says the milestone demonstrates Oklahoma City's ability to attract major sporting events that generate millions of dollars in economic activity for local businesses. The event marked the first UFC Fight Night held in Oklahoma City in nearly a decade, and city leaders hope that helps to attract even more national events in the future. Well, like we talked about, construction for the new Oklahoma County Jail is moving ahead. That's despite some earlier problems with contaminated soil and an abandoned oil well on the site. Crews are now drilling hundreds of deep support piers as work continues on the first phase. But here's the big question. Voters approved $260 million for the project. Now it's expected to cost about $850 million. That's a $590 million gap. County leaders point to inflation and higher construction costs. Are you buying that? Have you seen inflation go up nearly 400% over the past 3 years? Would you support a tax increase to make up the difference? You've already agreed to one tax increase. Would you agree to a second one? there's growing discussion right now about a one-cent public safety sales tax to build and operate the jail, while also helping to fund the sheriff's office and the DA's office. Now, remember, the original bond included no money to staff or maintain the new jail once it's built. Oklahoma County remains the only county in the state that does not have a dedicated public safety sales tax. At the same time, the mayor is also proposing a one-cent sales tax for a commuter rail connecting Oklahoma City, Edmond, and Norman. So which do you prefer, safer streets or a train that nobody's going to use? Give us a call, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. It's 80 degrees and sunny at 750. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Monday morning. Got a couple of construction issues causing delays. Bridge work on May and Northwest Expressway, as well as I-44 and Southwest 74th, and eastbound I-44 at Klassen.
Talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, it's Dr. Tony from Be Well Acupuncture. If chronic pain is keeping you from living your best life, I want to help. At Be Well Acupuncture, we create personalized treatment plans to relieve pain from neuropathy, arthritis, sciatica, and more without relying on endless medications. My goal is to help you feel better, move easier, and get back to doing what you love with the people you love. Life's too short to sit on the sidelines. Schedule your free consultation at BeWellOKC.com. And let's get you to feeling good again.
Get ready. Oklahoma Rodeo fans, come out to the 25th annual UConn FFA Rodeo, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st at the UConn Roundup Club between UConn Parkway and Ranchwood.
Come out for the rodeo, along with face painting, kids games, concessions, and more. Gates open at 6:30 p.m. and the rodeo starts at 8 p.m. Get your tickets now at Langston's in UConn and online at rodeoticket.com.
The 25th annual UConn FFA Rodeo, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st at the UConn Roundup Club between UConn Parkway and Ranchwood. Follow us on Facebook, UConn FFA Rodeo.
Wildfire season is approaching in Oklahoma, and our local volunteer fire departments need support now. As conditions grow hotter and drier, volunteer firefighters are preparing for long, demanding responses to keep our community safe. They rely on donations of bottled water, electrolyte drinks, and non-perishable snacks to stay fueled on the fire line. Monetary donations are also critical to help provide the tools and resources they need. If you see your local volunteer fire departments hosting a fundraiser or any other community event, don't wait. Show up and support them. This message is brought to you by the Oklahoma State Firefighters Association, standing with those who stand ready to protect us.
McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma, live Saturday morning, 8 a.m., Sunday at 1. Call in your questions to roofing specialist Scott McCullum. McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma. Find out more at mcroof.us and tune in to our show on Freedom 96.9.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
It's Eric Erickson. Listen to me live weekdays on Freedom 96.9 from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. as we dive into the headlines of the day, give you all the breaking news as it happens, give you some analysis into what's happening, my opinion, and also take your phone calls at 877-973-7425 right here on Freedom 96.9 as we spread freedom across the great state of Oklahoma 5 days a week.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. Got a hot couple of days on tap for us here. Today we're going to see mostly sunny skies, hot, high of 103 degrees tonight. Partly cloudy. It's going to be a humid night, too. Look for a low around 74 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunshiny skies with a high of 105. Then on Wednesday, no break yet. Partly sunny and hot, high of 102 degrees. It's already 80 degrees and sunny at 754. We're talking about the Oklahoma County Jail today. The construction of the new county jail remains on schedule, despite earlier setbacks involving contaminated soil and an abandoned oil well. Crews are now drilling hundreds of deep support piers for the first phase of the project. But while construction's moving forward, the price tag has climbed to $850 million. Voters only approved $260 million in bonds. That leaves a roughly $590 million funding gap. So at this point, do you think that we should even be bothering to start building this thing? Because there's a chance that if we do, it's just going to be left undone. They say there's enough money for the $260 million in bonds to complete the first phase of the project. But as a voter, I didn't vote for one phase of a partially done jail. I voted for a jail. And obviously, we're not getting what we voted for. And are you buying what they're selling you in terms of the price has gone up because of inflation from $260 million to $850 million? So more than three times the price. I know inflation's high right now, but you and I have all gone shopping. We've all bought eggs. We've all bought milk. We've all bought bread. We've all bought meat. Prices aren't up 400% over the past 3 years. County leaders point to inflation and rising construction costs. I'm having some work done on the roof right now. The costs aren't quite that high. I'm not paying that much for a new roof for my house. So would you support a new tax to pay for it? There's been a lot of talk about a dedicated 1 cent sales tax to build and operate the jail while also funding the sheriff's office and the DA's office. Right now, the original bond doesn't include any type of long-term operating or staffing costs. So what's the sense in buying a jail if you can't afford to properly staff it or make repairs or offer raises? Oklahoma County is the only county in the entire state without a dedicated public safety sales tax. While I'm not a big fan of any new taxes, I think we're already taxed to death. A sales tax for public safety, I think, is necessary because public safety is the foundation on which everything else in a community is built. You want good businesses moving here. You want good schools here. You want good homes here. You want safe neighborhoods here. You've got to have public safety. Meanwhile, the mayor is also pushing for a 1 cent sales tax to help fund commuter rail between Oklahoma City, Edmond, and Norman. So what do you think about that? The city for years has been telling us that a 1 cent sales tax would decimate local businesses. Now all of a sudden the mayor wants one for his choo-choo train project that is literally going to have nobody riding the thing. So what do you think? Give us a call, 405-608-4377. We'd like to have you weigh in, 405-608-4377. Did voters get an accurate estimate before approving the bond, or was this just some kind of a shell game? Was this one of those deals where politicians say, hey, we need this much money, and then once the jail is halfway built, they go back and say, hey, we ran out of money. We don't want to leave this thing half built. We don't want to waste all of your tax dollars, so we need more money now. So was this kind of a bait and switch, or were they genuine when they told us it'd be $260 million, and now it's up to $850 million? Should Oklahoma County be asking voters for additional funding? Do you trust them at this point? The property that they chose, obviously they chose poorly because it's got oil issues. It's got a well on there that we didn't know about. I would think that all those things would be taken care of when you're looking to buy the property rather than after you've bought the property and start digging into it. But apparently that's not the case. Is $850 million for a jail the best use of taxpayer dollars? And again, to put that in perspective, $850 million, that's $150 million more than it cost to build the Devon Tower. Do we really need an $850 million jail, or can we go back to the drawing board and find something a bit more affordable? Can the county afford, though, not to replace the current jail? We're facing lawsuit after lawsuit. We know that three of the four elevators aren't working properly, and they kind of jerry-rigged it right now so that two of them are working, but it's a death trap just waiting to happen. A lot to think about. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.